Well, the tree is gone. And the poinsettias. And the wreaths. The nativity is put away. It's over. The celebration is over. And if you're like me, life has pretty much returned to normal, right? Surely that is how the wise men found Mary and her child. Matthew doesn't mention Joseph. Mary is seen there with her child, but not heard. The child is not described with any extraordinary abilities. He doesn't talk or perform any miracles. He isn't portrayed as royal or glowing or regal or particularly grand. Perhaps when they walked in, he was just nestled there with his head in the crook of Mary's arm and his legs lying across her lap as he took a nap. Maybe they were playing peekaboo and giggling when these strange men entered. Perhaps Mary scooped up her young child in her arms to protect him as her eyes darted back and forth between these men, wondering what it was they wanted and why they had suddenly entered. Why might they be here? Early tradition said there were 12 of them. Later tradition has trimmed that guest list down to 3. But we don't really know how many of them there were. Matthew tells us that wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and then went on to Bethlehem, following a star that led them to this place. And when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they fell down and worshiped him. They were immediately all in. He was their whole focus. They offered him their full devotion. When I imagine and envision the wise men falling down on their knees, bowing down before this toddler, I am aware of my own lack of faith and devotion. I know my own unwillingness to take risks. Pack up and go wherever a star might lead me? Not likely. I am aware of my own pride. Fall down on my knees and worship a toddler? Not likely. I'm aware of my own inhibitions. Surrender myself and worship? Lift my hands in the air? Open my palms? Fall on my knees? What if I lose control? What if I become emotional about this? Craig Kelly writes about his struggle with faith and relationship with God in a way that I find helpful as I try to unpack the story of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus. Craig's reluctance to give control of his life to Jesus contrasts nicely, I think, with the wise men's response to Christ in a way that we can all probably relate to. Every summer when Craig was growing up, he spent August with his grandparents, and they had a cabin on the shores of Lake Melissa in Minnesota. Craig was from North Dakota, and he liked North Dakota because it was halfway between the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. And it was here that Craig enjoyed gazing at the landscape and felt particularly relaxed that there was not a drop of water anywhere on it. Craig wasn't scared of the water, or so he says. He says Lake Melissa was in a beautiful area filled with all the wonder and beauty that nature has to offer. It was just that the lake part didn't sit so well with Craig. Instead of looking out from his bedroom window and seeing fields of golden wheat stretching on endlessly toward the horizon, he looked out and he saw, well, water. Craig said of it, "You can only look at water for so long, you know." His grandfather, a retired pastor, loved the water. His grandfather and I have that in common. His grandfather loved to swim, to canoe, to fish, anything really water-related. Sometimes, early in the morning, he would just sit out on the lake in his canoe, looking at the sunrise appearing over the edge, deep in contemplation or prayer. And sometimes Craig would see his grandfather stand up in that canoe and take a dive off into the lake. Craig admits that the first time that he saw his grandfather do this, he thought that his grandfather was having a heart attack. Because why else would a person stand up in a canoe and fall into the water? You wouldn't do that intentionally, right? And then moments later, he saw his grandfather swimming like a fish right back to the canoe and climbing back aboard. Most of the time, Craig would help his grandmother with chores, and then he would go for a walk. He didn't really mind the shoreline. And so on occasion, he would take off his shoes and get about knee-deep in the water. And he often took a book with him. He liked Westerns a lot because there's no water in a Western. Craig recalls those days. He said, "Grandpa often left me a Bible to take with me, but it wasn't really my first choice for reading material. I loved God and Jesus and all that, but I didn't need God invading every part of my life." He says, "I gave God his due on Sundays and some holidays, and I figured that was good enough." I suppose to his credit, Grandpa didn't try to push his faith on me to the point of alienating me, but his love for God was kind of like his love for water, obvious to everybody who knew him. So I would occasionally indulge him and take the Bible along with me on my walks. Well, when Craig took the Bible along with him on his walks, he would read it. And he read the stories of faith. And he admits that a part of him longed for that kind of reckless abandonment to God, the kind that could honestly say, "My life is hidden with Christ in God," or "To live is Christ, to die is gain." But Craig didn't know how to get there. And then, when he was 16, his grandfather took him out in the canoe one day on the lake. Craig was not thrilled with the idea, but he says, "At least there was a canoe between me and dozens of feet of water. I just sat up rigid in the middle of the canoe, safe and dry. And after about 5 minutes of rowing, Grandpa put the oar down in the canoe and let us float idly about 100 yards from the shore. We just kept bobbing up and down," Craig remembers, "each rise and fall making him a little more uneasy." "I know you don't like the water, son," Grandpa finally said. It's okay. "You're not very convincing," he replied with a smile. "It's okay, you know, not everybody loves the water. But I have noticed you wading out into the lake, letting it wash over your feet and your legs, letting it even get up to your knees. And I saw that smile. You may like the water more than you think," said Grandpa. "I don't think so," said Craig. "The water, swimming, that's definitely more your thing, Gramps." He sighed thoughtfully as he looked out over the water. "Yeah, Grandpa, I really can't imagine life without the joy of immersing myself in the water." Grandpa said, "There's a release, a letting go when you let yourself sink into it. You lose control in a way. Maybe, son, that's why you only like going partway in. You're in the water, supposedly, but you're still the one in control. You just get a taste, that's all." Craig admits that he couldn't deny what his grandpa was saying. When he thought about getting in the water, he mostly thought about the fact that he couldn't touch the bottom. I couldn't walk there like I could walk on land, says Craig. While I had some control by swimming, in a way, I was at the mercy of the water. I guess you could be right, he said to his grandfather. That's often what faith is like, Grandpa continued. We know about Jesus. We accept what he did. And we think it's great. But to actually surrender, to lose control of our lives and our futures, giving it all over to God, we're afraid to take that step. We'll only go in to a point, up to our knees, and that's it. That way we control Jesus and not the other way around. Craig could see the wisdom in his grandfather's words. You know, you're right, he said. I want to love God and follow him, but I want to be in control of my own life. I'm scared to think of where God might take me if I let him. Craig's grandfather's reply captures the shift that was made in our relationship with God after the birth of Jesus. We see in the Christmas story, the Jewish shepherds come and leave the night of his birth, telling everybody what they had heard and seen. But it is only when the wise men, the Gentiles from the east, the foreigners, the strangers, arrive and fall down on their knees that we begin to realize the full impact of Jesus' birth on the world. Here's what Grandpa said to Craig. When we are scared to let go, that's when we have to remember that God is loving and merciful, and that he wouldn't take us anywhere that isn't best for us. He is our loving Father, and he will take care of us always. We just have to trust him. And to do that, we have to let go. We have to lose control and be okay with that. In a way, that's what baptism is all about. It's not just sealing that you are a member of a church. It's a symbol that you have died with Christ and have risen to a new life. As people were once lowered into the water, the old life was being buried and the old life was having it our way. Being in control for ourselves. And as we rise from the water, as we rise from the grave, we are shown to be reborn with Christ. Our old ways are dead, and our lives are surrendered to him and his will. And his Spirit fills us and will lead us and guide us the rest of our days. Craig says about that conversation with his grandfather that there was part of him that yearned for that even as he feared it. And even now he can't say what exactly happened. But Craig found himself beginning to weep as he yearned for the first time to give God control of his life. He says, Grandpa reached over and hugged me and began to pray, and I prayed with him that I would give Christ my whole heart and that I would let him lead me. We all have to let go, son, he whispered. We all have to let go. And Craig says, as we finished, I looked out over the lake with what seemed to be new eyes. I saw the ripples of the water, and instead of foreboding, I felt an odd sense of peace. I looked over at my grandfather, and he just smiled and winked at me and nodded his head. With unsteady legs, I stood up and looked over Lake Melissa and dove into the water. The wise men saw the child and his mother as they entered the house, and they fell down and worshiped him. They dove right into the water. I can just imagine them being so focused on him that they almost forgot they even brought gifts. Oh, of course we brought you these, gold and frankincense and myrrh. As they realized that that wasn't what he most wanted. He most wanted them to know them, to guide them the rest of their lives. We all have to let go, son. We all have to let go. Amen.